And welcome back to another episode of the Getta Presents the Movie Challenge podcast. Whoa, you're gonna blow people's eardrums out.
Was that really loud?
Yeah, that was super. Didn't you hear it in your head?
That sounded really low.
That was super loud. Holy crap. How's it going, Chaz? I'm your host, JP. And as always, joining me is the lovely Chaz.
Me.
My lovely, sassy co-host.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Good.
We are severely, severely behind.
Very behind.
We've watched a lot of movies, and we have not done an episode about them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Christmas is gone, and we haven't even talked about the Christmas movies we watched.
We've been busy.
We've been busy, right? We'll just say that's what it was.
Yeah, we'll just say
busy,
that.
Busy, lazy, whatever. We've been too busy killing bugs because we got shrunk in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Playing grounded, right? Oh, right. We got a great episode for you today. We've watched a ton of movies. But the weird part here is all of these movies that we're going to talk about today, they are not part of our collection, except for one of them. We do own Spider-Man Homecoming, but they are not in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Right? We're still in the B's, and these are not in the B's.
Yeah.
But we did go and watch a bunch of stuff on streaming. So we've been kind of like the movies that we have that we're trying to watch as part of the challenge, we've been kind of like interspersing them with these other films too as well. Just because like, oh man, these things are available, or we did a 7-day free trial of Showtime or whatever it was. So then it was like, we got to try to binge watch everything that we want to that's on there.
Yeah.
So we watched all these Spider-Mans. We watched that Monster Hunter from the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so we're just kind of peppering these things in. How you doing, Chaz?
Good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You ready to get into it?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. So the first one we're going to talk about is Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's from 2021. It was PG-13, runs about 2 hours and 4 minutes. The general story is when a single mom and her two kids arrive in a small town, they begin to discover their connection to the original Ghostbusters and the secret legacy their grandfather left behind. It is directed by Jason Reitman, I think is how you say his name. And his father was the original director of the first Ghostbusters, maybe even the first two Ghostbusters. It was written by Gil Kenan, Jason Reitman, and Dan Aykroyd. And then also it stars Carrie Coon, Paul Rudd, Finn Wolfhard. It was a pretty funny cast. And it has the original Ghostbusters, except for obviously Egon. Everybody else is able to make an appearance because the actor that played Egon has passed away. But yeah.
I just want to get off right off the bat. Favorite character? Little Mobile.
The RC car is your favorite character?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat. Also, I feel like we already talked about these movies.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't.
We didn't?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Confident.
We talked about it in person, like right after we watched it.
That's true.
So the funny part is that we went and saw this movie in the theater.
I wasn't there.
And that's what you keep saying.
Listen, I would remember that movie.
I can't imagine that we went to the movies without you.
You didn't. I didn't see. I've never seen that movie. I wanted to see it. I remember seeing trailers for it and stuff. Never seen it. And then I kind of forgot about it for a while. And I was like.
Because I remember, so we were talking about watching it. And I'm a Ghostbusters fan. I love the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Even the one with the women was funny and had it, you know, its place, but I really enjoyed the idea that this one was a continuation of the original one. So that third one with all the ladies and Chris Hemsworth, it kind of like just was in its own universe.
It was
its own story, and it's not part. Well, they're all comedy.
I know, but that
but
one
it was
like
its
mainly
own story. It wasn't part of the original Ghostbusters like world, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this one was really cool because one, it was a continuation of the original Ghostbuster movies, but then also it was directed by the son of the original director, so that was kind of cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, does my mic sound better over here than it does over here? I'm just testing because you can hear it different. Tell me where it sounds the best. Is it right here, right here, right here, right here, right here, right? It is like right here.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, it should be good.
Because when you went all the way over here, I could barely hear you.
Because when you went all the way over here, I could barely hear you. So like right there, yeah. I've got to get this stuff set right. Anyway, now Chastity, if you hear sounds flying by, that's Chastity totally messing around. Watch this, Chas.
Don't you dare mute me.
No, I'm not going to mute you. So just keep talking. No, don't do that. Just make the noise in the thing. Do it again. You didn't know I could do that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's audio effects there.
Oh, that's very good.
And I was just changing the pan so I can change which ear the sound comes into. Yeah. Okay. So instead of you flying by the microphone, I can just be like, meow. Yeah, funny stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we had a pretty heated argument about whether or not she saw the movie before we sat down and watched it.
I would remember that, and I'm offended that you guys think I wouldn't.
And so what was really funny about this watching this movie, too, is I showed her the trailer. She was like, yeah, I've never seen that. And then she didn't really want to watch it. And she was like, this is boring. Like, really sassy, just...
I was not in the mood to watch the movie.
You were not in the mood. But by the end, you were laughing, and you were like, okay, that was a good movie.
It was a good movie. The little car thingy was my... Yeah, that was my favorite.
And you like that podcast kid.
Yeah, podcast.
You thought he was pretty funny.
Uh-huh, he is good. I like him. I'd be friend. You always need a friend like podcast.
Okay, so Ghostbusters Afterlife, what would you rate it?
Yeah, I got 8.
8? Okay. All right.
Maybe 7, 8, yeah.
Ooh, little hesitation there. Why the borderline 7, 8?
Well, it's not that it was a terrible movie. It was good. I liked it. Made me laugh. It's just I wasn't a movie that I was, like, crazy about. Like, if I'm being honest, I would watch it again, but it's not like I'll be like, we got to watch this again. We got to watch this. Like, we got to watch this right now. Okay. Like, we got to watch this.
I'll agree. I'll go with a 7. The same kind of reason, right? Like, I think I'm biased a little bit because the first two Ghostbusters came out when I was a kid, and so I have, like, the nostalgia factor for those, right? Where, like, I remember all this stuff. So, to me, like, that right there, like, those ones live and are better than this one. I do think that it did a good job of, like, refreshing it for the new age, for children now, and they left it wide open for a sequel.
Yeah, they did.
Wide open. But yeah, I'll go with a 7. So what were some of the things that you liked about it?
I liked the little car thing. I liked Pog. Right. I liked the characters. The characters were good. It was interesting, like, the concept of, like, the grandpa was trying to keep the thing was opening. I thought the alien lady was kind of funny because, like, she was just ridiculously...
Gozer?
Yeah. Just ridiculously.
Are you a god?
And I thought the little girl was cool. I liked her.
The girl that played Egon's granddaughter? Mm-hmm. The smart girl?
Smart girl, wow.
Yeah. Well, she was. She was super smart.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She was a genius.
I think it was a little ridiculous how when she saw the chessboard, one of the chessboard pieces move, she just sat there and looked at it and started playing with the ghost. I would have been out of the house in 2 seconds, like, Mom, we gotta go. I don't care if we're broke. We gotta go.
Well, I can't remember. It was that was before she found out that her grandpa was a ghostbuster.
Yeah,
right?
she was in her room.
They didn't find out until after they found that trap.
Yeah, no, she was in the room and she saw the thing.
Right. So, like, the basic thing was that Egon, after the end of the second one, he just moved out into the middle of nowhere and abandoned his daughter and stuff. And so she had two kids. They never got to know their grandpa. He died mysteriously. So they inherited his house, which was just like a bunch of debt. And they called him Dirt Farmer because he just farmed dirt. But there was a reason, right? Because Goza was the original villain from the first movie.
Uh-huh. And the whole dirt farm, it was just a trap. All the dirt, he had traps under each and every one.
Yeah, it was a gigantic ghost trap. Yeah.
Because
he was trying to stop Gozer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think they did a really good job of including enough nostalgia. Like, it was really funny having, like, Paul Rudd in there as, like, the grown-up, like, kid. Because, you know, he was like, oh, my God, is that a ghost trap? I remember those things when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of interesting because they're... Just like when you were talking about sending land in that threat. Mm-hmm. The fun, playful threat about the Macarena.
It was a playful threat.
About
it's
the
not,
Macarena.
It's not right? an no. aggressive threat, which I will read right. it because I want to read
no,
it now.
No.
You want me to read it?
No.
I want to read it.
About the Macarena, right? And I laughed, and I was like, he might not even know what the Macarena is. because you guys are young. So, and that was kind of like a funny thing they did in the movie, right? Was like, he was like, oh, it's a ghost trap. And they're like, what? He's like, you don't know what that thing is? Oh, God, this is awesome. Let me show you. And he talks about and shows them clips from the original Ghostbusters like it was real, you know? And it was kind of funny because that's kind of how it is nowadays. Like things that I grew up with, you've got no idea what I'm talking about.
I know what the Macarena is. I did it. I used to do it in gymnastics.
I know. I'm just saying.
I want to read the threat. Can I read the threat? Yeah, I'm going to read the friend. So the one I sent to my friend.
playfully, yeah, by the
playfully. Way. Yeah, playfully. I like to send him threats, and he sends them to me. This is all playful. This is how we stay friends. I'm going to rip out each of your bones, put them back in the wrong places, and force you to do the Macarena. And he replied saying, what do you want?
So... I like how they did that. I like the action. Like them driving around, the kids driving around the town trying to catch that ghost. That was fun. There was a lot of funny parts
of this
movie.
That was actually a good part. I like that when the mom saw her go out and she was like, you know, being all cool. And the mom was like, And then the little marshmallow man sort of attacking.
The little marshmallows?
They were cute. See, I would keep one as a pet, but I wouldn't want it.
They were funny because they were like killing each other too. Like yeah, they were roasting each other
everything.
And stuff.
They were killing everything.
They're funny little marshmallow gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you not like about the movie?
Well, there wasn't much I didn't like. It wasn't a movie that caught huge interest in me. I liked it. It was good. I liked the storyline of it. I liked how they put it together. I mean, the effects weren't bad at all. They were actually really good. I just, you know, me.
Just one of those ones, like, if it was on, you'd watch it again.
Yeah, I would watch it again.
Maybe if we had it, like, out of, you know, randomly one day, you'd maybe go watch it again. But it isn't one that, like you said, it's not like, man, I got to watch this multiple times.
But, I my favorite character would be Podcast and the little car. I was really hoping it wouldn't die. Didn't die. Even though it's not alive, I felt alive.
Yeah.
I'm really messing
even though it was just a remote controlled vehicle.
Yeah, he was cute. It was a cute
one. Oh, I'm looking at the little marshmallow guys roasting each other over the fire right now.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm. Because it's showing on IMDb like part of the trailer.
No, it was a good movie. Yeah, I'm gonna go for an 8 or 7.
Would you be excited for them to continue it on? Because at the end, right, they show them at the original Ghostbusters place.
I'll do a 7.5.
7.5. All right. IMDb has it as 7.1. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll go with a 7. So Ghostbusters Afterlife, if you've never seen it, it's worth a watch. It's definitely worth a watch. It's a funny movie.
It's a movie you should at least watch.
Watch at least once.
Yeah.
For sure.
You don't have to like be obsessed with it or anything.
No.
Like some movies.
Not like Chastity. Right. Chastity.
But there's some movies you gotta be obsessed with. Like, again, Avatar. My kids don't like that. You ain't my kids. I don't know you.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm going to raise them on that crap.
Okay. Just like Mom tried to raise you on Tinkerbell.
Yeah, but Tinkerbell's different.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no,
it is. Because Tinkerbell is trash.
Oh, wow. If Mom heard that.
I said that before to her.
Oh, yeah? What did she say?
She was just like, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Just like, wow.
What if I said Avatar is trash?
You can't. Cause it's
See,
a good movie.
I have to show you. We have to watch Dances with Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And we should also watch Last Samurai, which we will watch because Last Samurai, we can watch that when we have it. But Dances with Wolves, you need to watch just because that is like the first Avatar, only just in a different place. Anyway, but let's not get in there because we don't want to give spoilers out. We did watch Avatar, the new one, Way of Water, but that's going to be for the next episode.
You know what? And if my kids don't like Dude, I don't know you.
The Dude.
You went missing. I don't know you. Random kid on my porch.
So that was, you know, again, talking about Ghostbusters Afterlife. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Had good special effects.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. Worth a watch.
Good. It looks good.
I'm going to 7. She's going to 7.5 as she beats up Ash again. Like, you're always beating up Ash. Yeah, poor Ash.
Ash is my bestie. Get out of here.
Poor Ash.
What's wrong with Ash's face?
What do you mean, what's wrong with Ash's face? What's wrong with Ash's
face?
Hey,
listen, Ash got a dumpy dump.
You're such a goof. He's also got a chainsaw in his hand and a boomstick.
Ow.
You have to watch the Evil Dead movies. Eventually, one day, we'll have to watch the Evil Dead movies. Especially Army of Darkness, that's my
favorite. Is Ash an old man?
Huh?
Is Ash an old man?
Well, he is by the time...
He has gray sideburns.
Yeah, he's got gray sideburns because he's an old man now, for sure.
His little wrinkles too. Okay, back to this.
So next up, we went and started watching a trilogy of movies. So this one we do own, but again, we're a little out of order. We started off with Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, I've seen this before. We do own this. We bought a TV years ago, right when Spider-Man Homecoming first had come out, and it was like, get a free digital download on this with your purchase of this TV. And so I chose Spider-Man Homecoming. So we do own the movie, technically. Mm. We don't own it physically on a disc. We own it virtually somewhere on a TV, one of the big TVs somewhere. Mm. Mm. Okay, put Ash down before you just keep, because you're making noise. It's going to be all over there. Everyone's going to hear it.
What's Ash sound like?
Give me some sugar, baby. Yeah. Shop smart.
Give me some sugar.
Shop S smart.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Oh, I'll show you some Ash Williams. Maybe we'll listen to some funny Ash.
I want to set up that other mic for him.
No, we're not. Okay. So anyway, Spider-Man Homecoming. This was the first one, right? So it came out in 2017, PG-13, 2 hours and 13 minutes. This is the first of the Tom Holland
Spider-Man. Wait, it came out in 2017?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the first one of the Tom Holland Spider-Man. So mm-hmm. there was the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. There was three of those. There was the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. There was two of those. The Amazing Spider-Man.
I wasn't a fan of those movies.
And then now there is the one with Tom Holland. Obviously, these are the ones that are tied into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Right?
You know, I like the other Spider-Man movies. It's just, I was never a huge fan of Spider-Man. Tom Holland plays them well, though. They played them well. I wasn't like, Spider-Man.
In this one, Peter Parker balances his life as an ordinary high school student in Queens with his superhero alter ego, Spider-Man, and finds himself on the trail of a new menace prowling the skies of New York City. It was directed by John Watts. The writers are Jonathan Goldstein, John Francis Daly, and John Watts. And the stars Tom Holland, Michael Keaton, Robert Downey Jr., and it also has
Zendaya.
I should probably learn how to say her name, right?
Me too. I hope I'm saying it right.
And it it's got a lot of actual other people in it. Obviously, it's got I can't remember their names right now. Oh my lord, I'm so bad. But it's got a lot of good actors and actresses in it. And what would you rate this one?
I'll give it a 9.
Ooh, she's going 9. All right. That's pretty high.
Why'd you do that face? You're like, who?
Well, a 9, you don't give out many 9s. Okay. I'll go an 8. I'll say it's an 8. Why are you giving it a 9? What did you love about this movie to give
it? It's an interesting movie. It caught my interest. The actors are good at acting. That's what I think. The actors are good at acting. I hope so,
being in a movie like this.
Yeah, actors are good at acting. The storyline I actually liked. Also, this table is dusty as crap, Dad.
Okay, quit wiping up dust and just let's talk.
Okay.
You're going to turn into mom and start cleaning everything?
No, I'm not. No. I thought it was very interesting. I like the bad guy. I like the storyline of it. I like when the bad guy figures out that Peter Parker is the one that's trying to date his daughter.
So I think the bad guy is the Falcon.
He plays, yes.
And it's Michael Keaton.
He plays good old buddy.
Right. And he's kind of like in a way, he's almost a relatable bad guy. He's, you know, he's a father. He's trying to take care of his family. He had like a construction company. And then this takes place after the first Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. So this takes place like they're salvaging alien tech from the aliens in the first Avengers trying to invade the world. And so his company, his gang of guys, that's what they've resorted to. Like they used to be a construction company. It went out of business for whatever reason. And now they're salvaging these things and selling weapons and stuff that they make with the alien tech on the black market. So he's relatable because he's just a father trying to provide for his family and adapting to a new situation. But the way he goes about it is probably the wrong way. Right? And he makes this crazy suit that allows him to fly and stuff these crazy like jet wings.
Which makes it funny because he has like no true superpowers.
Yeah. He's gotta make sure.
Just a basic man. I mean, at first I was like, oh, wow, Spider-Man doesn't have any superpowers. But I was like, oh, wait, no, he has his super strength.
The Vulture, that's what the name was, not the Falcon. The Vulture.
He has his super strength and all that. I forgot that.
And so what's interesting is how the different Spider-Man movies do the webs, right? Like in this one, we're jumping ahead, right? But yeah, in this one, he has to create, like, you know, come up with his web. So really all he has is, like, the super strength, the spidey senses,
the stickiness.
Yeah, he's real sticky. And the athleticism, right? His flexibility and all that stuff.
I think he's faster, too.
He is pretty fast. And there's some pretty cool special effects. It looks pretty good. What did you think about the building, the relationships with the people around him, especially because he's got a relationship with Tony Stark?
I thought it was actually pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They did well with putting it together and how they, like, the storyline of it. I liked the storyline. I liked how it ended. I liked how it began. I liked how, like, you know, they had good details in it. I cannot come up with the word to... I'm trying to think of the word. But you know what? I liked it. I don't know how to explain. I'm terrible at explaining things.
So I think this might have been after Civil War. This might have been after Avengers Civil War, because that's when he made his first appearance in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And that's when he, like, became friends with Tony Stark, because Tony Stark's in this one, and gives him the crazy robot suit. What did you think about, like, the moral messages in the movie? So, like, you're at the one point, remember, where Spider-Man's like, I'm nothing without the suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony Stark has, like, some kind of, like, sage fatherly wisdom. He's like, if you're nothing without the suit, that's, I'm really paraphrasing this and butchering it. But Tony Stark says something to the effect of, like, well, if you're nothing without the suit, then you shouldn't be doing this or something like that. Then you're clearly not ready for the suit.
Just trying to move
the suit had kill mode.
Yeah. He activated it a couple times. And he...
Anything that you didn't like about the movie?
Nope. I don't have anything to complain about. Usually I do. I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything that I hated truly about the movie.
Okay. All right. Man, we're going to... Are you just going to fly through these?
Might.
Usually we do about...
I was playing the forest with Landon, and I grabbed one of the seagull heads, and I thought about that one clip of those guys.
Mine.
Messing around with the seagull heads. I was like, mine. And I was following around him with the seagull head going, mine.
So another thing to point out in this one, right, obviously it's Peter Parker. He's in high school still. This all takes place around New York.
Yeah.
Where the next one...
they go on, like, a field trip.
Right. They go out of the country. So in this one, like, he starts to get a crush on Mary Jane. And
he's MJ.
MJ, Mary Jane, right.
She doesn't like that.
Maybe okay, sorry. On MJ. He starts to get a crush on MJ. He's got his friend Ned. And it's cool because Peter Parker, he's kind of like a dork. And he's kind of, like, goofy and gangly and, like, the awkward teenager. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of humor to be had there, too. And like you said, he finds out that the girl he likes, which that wasn't MJ though, right?
No, it was the other girl.
Some different girl.
The dad was.
Finds out that her dad is the Vulture.
Yeah, and
And they go to the homecoming dance.
Yeah.
That might be totally where, like, the homecoming comes from. The home phrase is in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but so this one was Homecoming, and then next up we had Spider-Man Far From Home, which came out in 2019. It's also PG-13, 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Came out in 2019?
Yep, right around, like, when the pandemic happened, or right before it.
God.
Following the events of Avengers Endgame, so this is after the snap.
You should have done that close to the mic.
This is after the snap, and then after the people came back. Because remember, Spider-Man was one of the people that died in the snap.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man must. So after the events of Avengers Endgame, which happened in 2019 as well, Spider-Man must step up to take on new threats in a world that has changed forever. Right, and it's kind of cool because they do play into that, how the world is completely different. He's kind of a celebrity now. He's doing, like, little speaking events and stuff, but he's still an awkward teenager that doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of...
No, he's not a celebrity. They didn't know about him yet. They didn't...
Well, no, Spider-Man is a celebrity.
Yeah, but they didn't know Tom.
They didn't know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man.
Yeah, Peter, right.
And then...
I forgot the name of him. I was going to call him Tom Holland.
Peter Parker.
Peter Parker.
Right. So it's kind of cool there because, like, it's showing like some of the weight of being a recognized superhero now, obviously. Mm-hmm. Right. But then in comes Mysterio. This one does have, sorry, let me get all the other details before we talk about it more. Yeah, it was directed by John Watts. Writers were Chris McKenna, Eric Summers, and Stan Lee. And it stars Tom Holland, Samuel L. Jackson, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Zendaya.
Wasn't it the last movie Stan Lee was in?
Wait. It might be the last one that Stan Lee was in.
Because he was in it, but he wasn't in the third one.
He makes a cameo in a lot of the Marvel movies, yep, because he's created a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm. Basically, this guy named Mysterio comes in to save the day and says there's a bunch of lava things. There's like three different types. There's water, lava,
and earth elements.
Yeah, they're earth different elements. And they're coming elementals. In
that's what he called
from
them.
His planet, he said. And they're coming in to like try and destroy the world. He said it destroyed his world. But in reality, he isn't actually a superhero. He doesn't actually have any powers, and all of it was fake. He has a bunch of robots that are
Bunch of drones.
Yeah, just making all this delusion. And
with holographic technology.
Yeah, and they're destroying everything, but with their gun stuff, making it look like the monster's doing it. In reality, it is not. So
let's backtrack a little bit, right? So, one, what would you rate it?
I give this one a 9 out of 10, yeah.
Ooh, going 9 again. You like these ones, huh?
Well, this one, I actually really liked it because, like, the concept of it. I liked it that he wasn't actually a superhero. He was actually just a basic white man. And I love that because...
So basic.
He's just a basic. Because he had no powers. He just sucked. He was just... He was just there. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted those glasses so he could take over the world, which I had no idea. What's the point of taking over the world? What are you going to do with the world?
He wasn't trying to take over the world.
He was trying to get everyone to like...
So let's paint the picture a little more accurately.
Oh my God, he's a pick-me. He wanted everyone to like him.
So at the end, at the beginning, Peter Parker is toiling with the idea that Tony Stark kind of like... left him to be the new Tony Stark, like gave him access to this crazy weapon system
with his glasses.
With these glasses and stuff. He accidentally almost blows up his bus because he's trying to like stop an inappropriate picture, because the whole time Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury is trying to recruit him to do this mission that's over in Europe. And he's like, no, I just really want to like hang out with my friends. And he's got a crush on Zendaya. So he's going to try to like
MJ
on MJ. So he's going to try to give her a
ring.
Was it a ring or a necklace?
It was a necklace, I think.
Right? He was going to try to give her some jewelry to kind of show her like how much he likes her and stuff. And there's other dude that like, and it's kind of funny because they make fun of it. They're like, oh, when this guy disappeared with the snap, he was like a nerd and no one knew who he was. Now that he's back, he's like a hunk and he's you know, he's real popular and stuff.
No,
he likes MJ too. So they're like kind of competing for MJ.
It was like a little ornament thing. Not an ornament, but it was like a little gift from Black Dahlia, the murder case that was unsolved. Right.
Yeah, but was it a pendant?
Was it I think it was a pendant. I don't know. But
I can't remember
either. He bought it off her favorite murder case.
Right. Well, about the, yeah.
Black Dahlia, yeah.
So, because she's really dark.
I like that.
Anyway, so the Mysterio guy is also working with a bunch of former Tony Stark employees,
but they didn't know that he's
right.
Not.
They're all former Tony Stark employees, and basically Tony Stark just like, you know, being Tony Stark, kind of like brushed them off, or made fun of them, or they didn't get the props or the credit that they felt they were due. So they kind of like form this evil group of former ex-employees that were going to try to showcase like how awesome their technology was that they had made for Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Mysterio takes it a little bit step further because it's like his ego's in the way, and he wants to be like,
he wants to be,
he doesn't want to take the world over.
He's a pick me. He just wants all the attention for himself.
Yes.
In reality, he is basic white man that has no powers and is
completely useless. And he's just using everyone. And I mean, that is interesting, right? Because someone that wasn't, you think of this, the superheroes as always having the leg up, but this is someone that wasn't a superhero and just through technology was able to
mm-hmm.
Fool Nick Fury and fool Spider-Man and you know, cause some serious damage, fooled everyone.
I really like the end because of, like, how they did it. Like, Spider-Man figured it out. He went inside of the monster where the drones all were.
Yep.
And I liked that the one guy, what's his name? The one dude with the eye patch.
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury. I like how that he figured it out too, but and he had that girl go up on the roof, and he's like, you ready? And then when Spider-Man shut him off, that drone spawned right there in front of him, and she shot it. And I love that part because he was just, he was a
face. How about that Nick Fury wasn't even really there? He was on an alien spaceship.
Was he?
Yeah. Nick Fury wasn't even really there.
Did he trick the guy that tricked him?
He's tricking everyone right now. Yeah, he's on a spaceship out in space. And there's a, I think they're called the Kree. And they're shapeshifters, and that's who was really Nick Fury there.
Well, that sounds crazy.
But anyway, it's a fun movie. So you give it a 9. I'll definitely give it an 8. I do think it was better than the first one.
Yeah, it was definitely better because
he's dealing with a lot more. So one, he's dealing with like his emotions around MJ and trying to figure out how to tell her that he likes her, but also at the same time dealing with this new life as like a member of the Avengers and Nick Fury being like, yo, you got to come work for me and do this stuff. You don't, because like every time he tells Nick Fury no, Nick Fury just interferes with his plan somehow. Like, oh, I need you to go to Belgium or wherever. And he's like, well, we're going to Greece. And then the next thing you know, his like teacher is like, hey, guys, we just got upgraded. We're going to Belgium. Like,
yeah, they changed
like
it
Nick
all.
Fury was interfering
he
with
was
his whole school
with
trip.
Everything.
And so every time he kept trying to do something sweet for MJ, something would happen where he would have to go be a superhero and not be able to. And I like him dealing with that. Also, there was the fact that he didn't have his spider senses once he came back from the snap. So the whole time he didn't have his spidey senses that there was danger afoot. And that was one of the things he was struggling with because that was one of those abilities that he relied on. And so now it was gone.
But in the end, remember his, got it back.
Remember his Peter Tingle? Is his aunt
yeah,
called it?
I like, no, remember, no, and I remember with MJ, he was standing. I don't know if it was in the third movie or something, but she was like, is it happening? Is the Peter Tingle happening? And he was like, don't say it. Don't tell that.
Right.
He's like, is it happening?
Yeah, don't call it the Peter Tingle.
Yeah. But he got it back in the end because he stood there.
But he had
there
to concentrate.
And wait for it. But in the third movie, he completely had it back.
And I think that was, you know, there were some important things there because there was the kind of being like in the shadow of your father figure, right? He was feeling the weight of trying to live up to Tony Stark. And he said throughout the movie, I don't know if I can be Tony Stark. Tony entrusts him with this crazy like robotic satellite drone weapon system to protect the Earth. And he entrusts it to him and he gives it away to Jake Gyllenhaal.
Because
he fell for Mysterio's stuff, so he gives it to Mysterio, not knowing that all Mysterio's stuff was fake. And then Mysterio's able to try to do some bigger things so he can become even more famous and a superhero for the people. So I like the themes, the different things that it was balancing with, the weight of living up to your father figure, the awkwardness of trying to tell a girl that you like him while also keeping a double life. Right, kind of getting more than he wanted.
Well, she figured that out real quick. She's like, "You're Spider-Man."
Right, and it was funny because she did ask him. He was like, "What?" You know,
he's like, "I have to tell you something." She's like,
"She's like,
Spider-Man."
You're
Spider-Man, and he's like, "What? What? What?"
And then she was like, "Oh, I was totally just guessing." But then it brought into a question, right? Because she was always trying to spend time with him, and he even says it. He's like, "So were you just trying to spend time with me because you thought I was Spider-Man, or because you liked me?" Like.
But in the what I thought was funny was when they went back to the room for the thing and what's his name?
Nick Fury was shooting everyone with the trank gun?
No, the one guy came in, his friend.
Ned?
Ned came in.
And he's like, yeah, I knew. I was the first.
He's like, I was first. And he's like, did he tell you? And she's like, nah, I figured it out.
Yeah. And there's, again, plenty of comedy in these scenes. Plenty of comedy. Mm-hmm. I think it was funny how Happy was dating his aunt. And then and then they broke up and Happy was all like depressed about it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like there was funny angles to the whole movie. Or no, wait, this was No Way Home or Far From Home was when he started dating Aunt May.
Yes, it was in the
next one was when they broke up. So overall, Chas has given this a 9. IMDb, so let's see. You said the first one was a 9. IMDb has it as a 7.4.
Well, they can never give it a 10 out of 10. They never give movies 10 out of 10.
I know. They have 7.4 for this one as well.
Yeah, I told you. It's always in the 7s, and so, the highest it will go is an 8.
Seeing as you like both of them, which one out of the two so far did you like better? The first one or...
Second one.
Okay, so you like the second one better.
I would say the third one is my favorite, though.
The third one was your favorite? So Spider-Man No Way Home came out in 2021. It's PG-13, 2 hours and 28 minutes. With Spider-Man's identity now revealed, because they did reveal it at the very end. Mysterio revealed it at the very end and tried to blame him for his murder. Peter asked Doctor Strange for help. When a spell goes wrong, dangerous foes from other worlds start to appear, forcing Peter to discover what it truly means to be Spider-Man. It was also directed again by John Watts, written by Chris McKenna, Eric Summers, and Stan Lee, star Tom Holland, Zendaya, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Zendaya.
It also had Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and Willem Dafoe and Jamie Foxx. It basically had everyone from all the Spider-Man movies. Right? It had Doctor Strange. So this one, what would you rate it?
Probably 10 out of 10, you.
What?
Can you relax?
Cass is going 10 out of 10. What? Is that a first?
No.
No, you get,
Dude got a 10 out of 10. Avatar got a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, okay. All right, throwing 10s out here. All right, I'm gonna still stick with 8. I'm gonna say across the board, they're generally the same rating for me. Even though I like certain ones, I definitely like this one more than the other two because of the nostalgia factor and the humor that they had in tying those three movies together. So at the end of the second one, Mysterio dies trying to kill Spider-Man, and he accidentally kills himself because Spider-Man tricked him.
What? Mysterio?
Right? Yeah,
no.
Wasn't that how he died?
So when Spider-Man, Mysterio was on the ground, but it was an illusion that he was on the ground. And Mysterio was actually holding a gun next to him. And Spider-Man grabbed the gun because he felt the spider tingle.
Right.
And then Spider-Man shot Mysterio.
He didn't shoot Mysterio.
I think he did.
Who? No.
How did Mysterio die?
The drones shot him.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mysterio was trying to use the drones to kill Spider-Man. He killed himself. Spider-Man doesn't kill people.
No, Spider-Man destroyed all his drones that were coming at him inside the thingy because Mysterio sent them after him. And
we're going to have to go watch it. Anyway,
I know how it happened. No, listen. He did the illusion where he made it a black room. Like there was nothing, you know, just a black void. And then Spider-Man focused and had a little tingle. And then he sent a bunch of drones after him, and Spider-Man was taking all of them out one by one. And when he got to the end, Mysterio was laying on the ground, acting if I think he got shot by something, and he was on the ground acting, but it was actually just an illusion of him on the ground, and Mysterio was actually next to him with a gun pointing at Spider-Man, and Spider-Man grabbed the gun and twisted his arm because he knew it was there. And Mysterio shot, but didn't shoot Spider-Man because Spider-Man knew that he was there. I know I'm right.
No, so this is what it was. Ready? Because I'm looking this up to settle this argument right now. This is the power of the internet. And that's what you're doing too, it looks like. Surrounded by killer drones that are still responding to Mysterio's orders. At the end of the film, Peter is able to call off the drones, and we see Mysterio die after he's shot by a misfiring machine.
Yeah, but did you not hear what I just said about him being in the black void and he's fighting all those?
Yeah, no, that all was before.
No.
Then he got through all that. He got the glasses back, and he was able to take control of the robot.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm saying...
Why are you yelling? Because
you're not hearing what I'm done with this conversation before I get angry.
No, come on. This is what it's about.
No,
let's go.
Listen. Stop. Listen. So Spider-Man fights all those things,
yeah,
okay?
All those drones. Yeah.
Okay, but when he gets there, yes, I knew he got shot by something. I don't remember how he died. I think he just bled out. But Mysterio had a drone acting as if he was still on the ground.
Right.
But he was actually up next to Peter with the gun in his hand. Peter grabbed it, blah, blah, blah. And then, yes, he turned him off. But I forgot how Mysterio died. He probably did bleed out, that's what I'm guessing.
Well, right, but what happened was...
He got shot by a drone. I know.
That's right. You said that Spider-Man shot him originally.
Because I thought that's what happened.
So, see, you were wrong.
But I was actually right.
No, but you were wrong.
I was right.
You were wrong.
I was right.
You were wrong. How's it feel to be wrong? Anyway, so,
I don't feel anything.
So anyway, the whole point of this. Stop! All I can hear is rumbling. Stop! Stop messing with it! Stop it! Chastity.
Don't you dare.
So at the end of the second one, Peter is taking MJ for a ride through New York. He picks her up and he's taking her around, swinging her around. And she's like, don't ever do that again. And then there's a news break of video footage from Mysterio's camera or something.
He took a phone video of him with the phone.
Showing when Peter Parker was standing over him. Now, it's clearly edited to make it look like Peter Parker killed him.
Like shot him.
But he didn't. And so that paints Spider-Man slash Peter Parker because they unveil who he is. And it makes it look like he's a murderer. And then he has to take Zendaya and go away. So then the third one is dealing with the repercussions of that, right? Mm-hmm. And now everyone knows who he is. So everyone's outside of his apartment constantly. All this stuff. He can't hide from them. So he goes to Doctor Strange
to help him
kind of like, hey, can you make it so everyone forgets about me?
Besides a few people.
So he's making this spell, right, and then that's what happens.
But Peter kept adding more and more people.
He wanted to make sure they could remember him. So, like, make everyone forget but this person.
Oh, but this person too. Oh, and this person. So, like, it screwed up the spell, blah, blah, blah. Broke a couple things. Some people escaped through.
And that's what happens, right? So mm-hmm. the spell kind of gets out of control, and it turns into everyone knows who Peter Parker is, Spider-Man, and it starts sucking in people from other dimensions. So he starts encountering
other dimensions of the other Spider-Man.
Right, the other Spider-Verses, right?
Yes, other Spider-Manies.
So, but it brings in villains from the other Spider-Man's worlds. So you have Jamie Foxx as, what was his name? The Shocker or something like that. Electro, that's what it was. Electro. Yeah. And then you have Dr. Octopus. You've got the Green Goblin. And you've got these people that are dead in other universes. They were dead in the Sandman.
And the lizard guy.
And the lizard. Some of these characters are dead. They died in those universes, but now all of a sudden they're brought back to life. And there's a whole conundrum there of like, maybe they weren't bad guys, right? Because a lot of them had good intentions originally. Mm-hmm. So Peter Parker, like, basically Doctor Strange is like, go capture them all, and then we're going to send them back to the universes. But Peter Parker's like, but if we do that, some of them are going to be dead.
Which for me, I would just send them back. To be honest, it's not my life. I mean, they were dumb enough to die.
So Peter Parker wants to try to save them. That's what he ultimately is trying to do. So he starts with like Dr. Octopus, and it turns out that like Dr. Octopus was all crazy because of the octopus arms that were melded to him. The computer chip in there got corrupted. And mm-hmm. so that's what was making him be evil. And as soon as they fixed the computer chip, he was like, oh, everything's better now. I can't hear those voices anymore.
I like the Dr. Octopus.
So he set out to try to do that for everyone. He set out to try to fix everyone. And some of it kind of turns on them, obviously. Some of them didn't want to be fixed.
The only one that really wanted to be fixed was the actress guy, and he got fixed. And then the rest of them stopped wanting to be fixed. But the Green Goblin was the one that was causing the trouble because Spider-Man got that tingle-wingle.
Mm-hmm. Cool, too, because it was funny. There was a lot of humor in there because like he's trying to... So he's also trying to correct things because his friends are being punished by association.
Oh, yeah, because they knew him, so they weren't accepted
accepted to college and stuff like that. So he, you know, that's where the whole spell came from. So then it turns into, oh, crap, hey, I got to try to fix these people. He actually imprisons Doctor Strange for a second because he's going against what Doctor Strange wanted him to do. So he imprisons Doctor Strange. He leaves him in the mirror universe, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because he's trying to save these people. Some of them didn't want to be saved, but it was funny because they all were like, I'm going to get you, Spider-Man. And then he'd pull his mask off or he'd be revealed to be like this world's Peter Parker. And they're like, wait, you're not Spider-Man. You're not Peter Parker. Who are you? And like, it was kind of funny because they were all expecting their version of Spider-Man. And so then that was where there was some way better humor. It was hilarious. Was when the other Spider-Men came into the picture.
Yeah.
Because they each have their own way of being Spider-Man. They each have their own way of dealing with things. They've all been through similar trauma. So mm-hmm. Aunt May dies. And in this Spider-Man, there is no Uncle Ben. In the other ones, there was. And in the other ones, it was Uncle Ben that died that led them to becoming a hero and dealing with, like, great responsibility, or great power comes with great responsibility. And so they kind of realize that they all have the same driving force.
Dang, I'm all the way back here. You can still hear me breathing.
Yeah. Right? All right, calm down.
Can you still hear me breathing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right.
That's I yanked on the headphone really hard.
Yeah, don't be breaking my stuff. Don't be breaking your stuff. So it was cool how they did that. I love the humor that they had once they introduced the other Peter Parkers.
Yeah.
Especially when Tobey Maguire is Peter Parker, he shoots web from his body.
Yeah, he doesn't have. And they had
so many questions.
Shooter.
He didn't have web shooters, and they like, were does making it come out there were so many jokes. Yeah, there were so many jokes. Yeah, it was pretty funny, and how they freaked out when he did it, and they're like, "What? Whoa! Where'd that come from? What?"
Yeah,
because they're like kind of grossed out.
He was
like,
"What do you do?" Because he saw them putting on their web shooters. Like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, those are web shooters," and he went.
You guys can't do that, and they freaked out about it.
Yeah, you want see if I was a Spider-Man, I would want that power too. I wouldn't want to have a web shooter just because you run out, you're screwed.
And that's happened before where they ran out. There was a lot of humor there. So then they worked together to try to figure out how to save all the other villains.
Yeah,
and then
they have to
do it all before a certain time because.
The world was breaking.
Wait, the world, right? The dimensions were like collapsing on each other, and so then Doctor Strange was trying to fix it all.
Yeah, and then they saved all the guys, bad guys. But the thing is that they sent them back, but the dimension thing was still breaking in the sky. So all these like big bad guy demon gods up there were coming, but the only way they could fix it was Spider-Man just went back to the original spell, make everyone forget me. So that's what he did. So MJ and everyone forgot him.
All of them, yep.
Yeah, every single person, even Happy.
Yep, even Happy, who's been like kind of like the replacement father figure.
And the Avengers,
he was like the uncle.
Mm-hmm. So now they all forgot, and MJ told him to promise her to make her remember.
Right, and then he goes and visits her at the end.
But he didn't say anything.
And she's still working at the coffee shop, and Ned comes in, and they're still friends, but... He just looks kind of like a creeper.
Imagine how messed up it would be if Ned and MJ get together. That would be
And then he has a chance to say something.
Mm-hmm, but he didn't.
And then he doesn't.
He walked away.
And he walks away. And then it's just kind of him all alone now. No one knows that he's Spider-Man as Peter Parker anymore.
Yeah, and they don't have a house anymore.
Right, because his aunt's dead. Mm-hmm. And, like, he even goes to her grave and Happy's
there. God, his life is screwed. He's messed up.
Right. So it's some deep, dark things because with that...
Even Doctor Strange forgot about him.
If you're, like, a superhero, right, and you have a secret identity, and that was some of the themes was, like, talking about trying to balance that secret identity, and now that it's out, the cat's out of the bag, how does that change your life? And... Yeah, that's one of those tough things because anyone that you hold close to you is a weakness, right? And people will target them, and that's what happened. And the things that you do reflect on more than just you, but also the people around you. And I like that theme of, like, you have to be careful what you wish for and careful how you do things because it impacts more than just you.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts the people around you, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I go online and I say something stupid, it could make me lose my job. And then that impacts you because now all of a sudden I can't pay for things for you. You know, I can't provide food, stuff like that. So there's a lot of heavier themes there. And I think that also shows like, the trajectory from the first movie, they're in high school. In the middle, the second movie, they're towards the end of high school. The third one, they're at the end of high school. So there's that growing up, right? We've seen Spider-Man kind of grow up through each movie, and that's part of growing up. And it's sad.
It was rough for him. I feel bad for Spider-Man. He lost, everything.
He did lose everything. So anything that you didn't like about these movies? I mean, you gave this one a 10.
Well, because this one I liked a lot, and I'm excited for the next one. I don't know.
Is there going to be a next one?
They left it open for our next one.
They always leave them open for our next one. You know how many Spider-Man stories there are? Holy crap.
I think there is, because he has to make MJ remember.
He might not.
Dang.
He might just walk away like
that. He's got to live a depressing life. I was, you know what I was sitting here?
What was your favorite part?
I was trying to make my like, fingers, like, imagine.
Like, walk?
No, but, like they were, like, doing, like, a dance.
Like a... Okay, you're such a goof.
Girl, I can't express my hand.
So, the last movie that we watched was an animated movie.
Sorry.
That Chastity really wanted to watch.
I wanted to watch it, but it was on Apple TV. And at the
and we have Apple TV for free for a little bit. Yeah. I gotta look and see when that needs to be canceled.
I wanted to watch it. It was like it's a kid. It was like a really kid movie, and I wanted to just see it.
It's called Wolfwalkers. And it came out in 2020. It's PG. It was 1 hour and 43 minutes. It's about a young apprentice hunter and her father journey to Ireland to help wipe out the last wolf pack. But everything changes when she befriends a free-spirited girl from a mysterious tribe rumored to transform into wolves by night. It was directed by Tom Moore and Ross Stewart. Writers were Will Collins, Tom Moore, and Ross Stewart. It stars Honor Nifsi, Eva Whitaker, and Sean Bean. Stop, I can hear it.
Sorry, I'm making an ice skate.
And this is a, it has a really cool animation style.
Mm-hmm. I like the animation style.
The animation style was really cool. What did you rate this one?
I give it like a 7.
Okay. I was thinking 6.
I know you were. it was a good movie. I would watch it again. I wouldn't really like be like really recommend it. Of course, not especially someone my age. I wouldn't recommend it to.
No.
But I wanted to watch it for a little while.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I was for like 2 years. I wanted to watch it, and I kind of forgot about it. And I was like, oh, we have Apple TV? I want to watch it. Because I wanted to watch it when it came out. But then I kind of lost interest in watching it. But then I figured out we had Apple TV, and I was like, oh, I want to watch it.
Let's watch it. Right.
I was like, why not? And, no, it was a good movie. I like the storyline. They put it together well. Of course, I like the animals, the wolves. I thought the battles were pretty cool.
Did you like the character? So,
I like the character.
So the main character is the daughter of the hunter.
Yes, and she wants.
And
to be
he's got to help try to like
get rid of the wolves.
Get rid of the wolves
so they can tear down the forest.
And then she meets this like wild girl with fiery red hair that is pretty funny and kind of wild.
Yeah, I like her.
Right? So she's a wolf walker.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't... Do you remember how the main girl turned into a
wolf
walker?
So the main girl got trapped in one of the snares and got lifted up. And the wolf girl was trying to cut her down by trying to bite the rope. But then the girl's arm got in the way of the wolf's
and she
mouth.
Bit her.
And she bit her. And if you get bit... And you're not healed in time, you'll turn.
Right, then you turn into a wolf walker. So then she turns into a wolf walker. So at night, she turns into a wolf.
So when you sleep, you're a wolf. When
right,
you awake,
that's right.
Yourself, your body.
Right.
But when you sleep, your body turns into a wolf. But you're still, but your body is still laying wherever you were sleeping.
So then she's there. So now her dad is in charge of, well, is one of the hunters trying to get rid of the wolves and the wolf walkers. And his own daughter has now become one.
Yeah.
And the church is behind a lot of this, and they have the mother wolf walker in custody.
Yeah, and so the mother wolf was going to go look out for a safe place.
Right, because they were trying to leave the area.
Yeah, but the mother got caught, and so the little girl was waiting for her mom to come back for like a year.
And the hunter's daughter was like, hey, I've talked to them. I can get them to leave. They just need the mother, and they'll leave. And that was the whole thing, was like, we need to get these wolves out of here. And they didn't want to compromise. They wanted to just kill them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hey, I can get them to leave if they just get their mother back. We just find the mother. They'll leave without any problem. They just wanted somewhere safe to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, they just wanted to go.
And the father wouldn't listen to her until it was too late. And mm-hmm. I think that's an important story there, right, is oftentimes – and especially I think it's coming from like the little girl perspective, right? Of one being a little girl. So they just kind of your opinion or your what you have to say not carrying as much weight as an adult. And her being like, hey, I have a solution, and everyone just ignoring her. And then when anyone would listen to her, it was already too late. She was a wolf walker, and she mm-hmm. was like, I have to go with them because I'm one of them now.
And the dad got bit in the end too.
Oh, that's right.
By the mother. So they had the mother wolf in a cage, and the boss guy was trying to show that they can domesticate them and that they can make them kind of like their slave dogs. And basically they're dogs, but I think he knew she was a wolf walker. And the dad was kidnapping the daughter. He was holding down the daughter and putting crap on the daughter. So the mom wolf got mad and lunged at him and broke the chains and bit him. And I remember mom being like, don't mess with mama wolf.
Right? Yeah, so it was a cool movie. Like I said, the art style looks really cool. It looks like a pencil with like watercolor.
Yeah, I like that kind of art. And I also like clay animations, like and just like stop motion. Yeah. I love movies that are stop motion. I would watch like Coraline. Crap, we need to buy Coraline.
We have Coraline.
We have Coraline?
We have Coraline.
You bought it?
We've had it.
Excuse me?
I'm pretty sure we have it.
No, we don't. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we have it.
Okay, well, I'm going to go look for that.
We'll have to go double check when we're done.
Yeah, but they had it on Netflix for the longest time. Took it off. I'm so mad about that. I'm mad at your Netflix.
So overall, though, right, it's a movie that you would recommend to just a younger kids.
I would recommend it for like 10 and below. Maybe 11 on a good day.
What would have to happen for it to be a good day that an 11-year-old would then be interested in that?
I don't know. But it's because it wasn't, it was a movie, I liked it, I would watch it again, but I would obviously want someone younger or like a younger audience with me so that they might enjoy it even more. Okay. But I definitely like the art style. I want your fridge spinner.
So that's the movies that we watched for this episode, yeah, at least. We've got a lot more to talk about.
A lot more.
So obviously... No Way Home was your favorite one out of this batch because you gave that one a 10.
Yes.
Cool.
No, Dude is my favorite.
But out of this batch of movies.
It's not in this batch.
Jeez, kids. Anyway, so we're gonna wrap this one up. Mm-hmm. But if you like what we're doing and you like what you're hearing and, you know, you want to just keep supporting us, please like and subscribe and all that good stuff.
Chaz is like, hey, at least you're not doing like, and smash that and like smash button.
That like
and
button.
Make sure you press the subscribe to our channel. No, I hate people. People that do that. It's like annoying. Especially when people open up their YouTube channels. Like, what's up, guys? Back with another video. It's like, shut up. Why are you going to be so loud?
Yeah, I'm not. Excuse me? You know.
I like to be loud.
You're over here like, daily sniff test.
Yes. Make sure you do your little sniff. I have a thing today. We didn't watch any scary movies, but note to self. If you ever see a baby end up on your porch or there's a little kid alone, this is advice.
Where is this coming advice. From? Where is this coming from?
I'm sorry. This is advice. If you ever see like a baby on your porch, don't touch the baby. And if you ever see like imagine you're walking and they're like, there's no one around and you see one little girl all by herself and she's crying, it's not your kid. Don't mess with it.
I'm pretty sure that's like the opposite of what anybody else would tell you to do. If someone discovers a baby on their porch, you should probably call like
the police. Call 911, but I'm not gonna go out there and touch it.
If there's a little girl lost wandering through the woods, you should probably call 911.
I'd call 911, but like don't approach the kid because
stay at a safe distance.
Yeah, anything's danger nowadays. And two, you don't know what's going on.
You sound like Will Smith in Men in Black does the test and they gotta shoot all the different aliens. And he shoots the little girl, and the guy's like, why did you shoot the little girl? And he's like, well, that dude's just blowing his nose. This dude's over here just lifting weights. How would I like if someone walked in the gym and bust a cap in my butt? And he goes, but the little Susie over here walking around in this bad area at night with quantum physics in her arm, books in her arms, she's up to some shit. And
Listen, you just see a little girl all alone in a park, she's crying, avoid her. Any little kid, because you don't know. I've watched enough horror movies. And don't touch kids.
Wow, okay. So that's it for this episode. On that note, I'm JP.
Stay away from kids. I'm Chastity.
And we'll see you the next time on the Movie Challenge Podcast.